Ah, you see, he said triumphantly, watching her expression change. There is more than one way to skin a cat, you know. She smiled. The tightness in her chest eased. You, Mr. Bradley, are a devious man. Let us take a look. She put a hand to the door, praying it was not a mice-infested heap. Just a minute, he said, digging in his pocket. We need the key. It's open already, she said, stepping into the gloom. He frowned. Strange. Caretaker said it would be locked. She groped her way through the dark room. No electricity, I suppose. Funny how one could become accustomed to such luxuries as electric lights and steam heat. Would it be terribly expensive to convert the old farmhouse to such amenities? Gas lighting, and it has been shut off, he said. The caretaker said he left some lanterns on the kitchen table. He glanced around. I had hoped for a sunny day to show you the place. No matter. She found a lantern and struck a match. What an enormous kitchen. Unfortunately, that appeared to be its only positive attribute. The cast-iron cookstove was absolutely ancient, and the deep sink still had a hand pump. She could only imagine the state of the pipes. The place needed a lot of work. All the easier for you to cook elaborate meals for me, he said with a grin. She wrinkled her nose at him. It could be the size of the Taj Mahal and be equipped with the most modern amenities, and it still would not help. You know I cannot prepare anything more complicated than tea and toast. I do not suppose we will have the funds to hire a cook. Not right away. I can always bring back leftovers from the dining hall. He ducked before she could find something to throw at him. There was no help for it, she supposed. She would have to learn to cook, or burn the house down trying. He smiled and drew her close. I do not care if you char the toast every day of our married lives, my dear. He bent down and breathed in her ear, sending tingles along her spine. Kiss me. She slid her hands up behind his neck, pulse quickening. How improper, sir, she murmured. We are not yet married. What would Aunt Drusilla say? He chuckled as his mouth brushed her cheek. Aunt Drusilla be... Concordia's lips stopped the rest of his sentence. After a time, he took a lantern and headed toward the parlor. The house definitely has potential. Come and see the deep stone fireplace, he called. She joined him, holding up her own lamp. There is plenty of room here to host students for gatherings. Now I understand why you thought a larger home would be advantageous. Her excitement grew. David, I do think this may work. A loud bang stopped her. That sounded like the back door. He put a hand to her arm. Probably just the breeze rattling it loose, but best that you stay here. He headed down the narrow hallway. She glanced around at the gloomy shadows of the parlor and shivered. Oh, no, I'm coming with you. She hurried up behind him. As if by tacit agreement, they moved carefully and noiselessly back through the kitchen to the rear screened-in porch. David shone his light toward the screen door. His shoulders relaxed. Ah, see? It was not latched properly. He shifted the lantern in his hands to secure the hook. Concordia idly cast her light around the dim perimeter, piled with stacked furniture, a long workbench, and other detritus. What a mess! And who would leave a heap of cast-off clothing behind the bench? She moved closer. Her heart leapt in her chest, and she let out a gasp. More than clothing, a man. David? Her voice quavered. He hurried over and sucked in a breath. He crouched beside the body. Is he dead? I need more light. She brought her lamp closer as he turned the man over. I do not recognize him, he said. Suppressing a shudder at the sightless eyes, she leaned in. The man's otherwise fair hair was matted at the back of his head with something dark. Blood.